I'd like to call over the Town of Brule Committee meeting for Monday, December 7th, 2020. Ms. Bourgeois, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Daigle.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Richard.
Here.
Councilmember Andre. Councilmember Niesler.
Here.
Attorney Acosta.
Here.
Mayor Rhodes.
Here. First, we got minutes from our meeting on November the 9th, 2020. They're in your package. Let us know if you have any changes on that. Make those changes. Committee reports, Public Works Committee. I'll read the Public Works report for November. Total rainfall, we had two events for a total of 4.4 inches. No drainage problems were reported. Four SCADA alarms, all minor. Zero out of compliance issues on the sewer pond. We had a large culvert program completed on Live Oak Drive. We had the catch basin installed in the triangle on the River Road in Maine. We took delivery of the new town truck. If you hadn't seen it run around town, the white truck. We sent out four nuisance letters on some homes that we have some issues with the possibility of more letters going out after we make a few phone calls. Two landmark plaques were installed on Lee Drive. We took down the flags and we're putting up Christmas decorations. As you can tell, we should be close to being finished. Did those plugs come in?
Yep. Okay. And, decorations will be finished tomorrow.
So we should have that done pretty quickly. Bulk pickup will be this week, and our extra pickup, we're going to figure out when we're going to do it. We're talking to Republic and trying to get them to do it at a different time because this is one of those months that our extra pickup falls right after our normal pickup because of the month. So we may just not do it, and we may put it the week after Christmas if Republic can service us on that week. So we're waiting on Sharon. Hadn't responded on that, huh? All right, so we'll hear from Sharon, and hopefully by next week we'll have a date for that. So that's public reports, public works report. All right, planning and zoning. You have your minutes in your package from our planning and zoning meeting on November 25th. Next up, presentation by West Baton Rouge Cooperative Endeavor Agreement for Permitting and Inspections. This is what we discussed at length last month for the Cooperative Endeavor that we talked about giving the parish control over our permitting as well as changing the other Cooperative Endeavor from 50-50 split to 75-25 we had talked about a long time. We met with the parish and the parish wanted to come and maybe give a little quick presentation on what they could do for us as far as our permitting. So if you can, just introduce yourself, and that's perfect.
Mayor, council members, Kevin Durbin, coordinator, Planning and Development Office, West Baton Rouge Parish. Thank you for having us here tonight. We have, I think, most or all of our staff is here as well. We sent you guys a new contract for a permitting and inspection agreement, the very same contract that we sent to the town of Addison, the city of Port Allen. As you may or may not know, our existing contract was set to expire in 2021. When we sent you the new contract, we did add some new provisions in it based on the feedback I was getting from my staff dealing with, you know, trying to take over more of the permitting role for you guys and then also adjusting the cost split based on the additional work that we would be doing. I understand. I did get a chance. I think you had audio from your last meeting. I did get a chance to listen to the audio. I know some of the concerns over the cost share. I know some of, like, the control concerns or, you know, perceived lack of control over permitting. I'm aware of all those issues, so I will be happy to answer any questions that you have tonight. We would hope that you would approve the agreement as written because we're trying to do similar agreements with other jurisdictions as well, and I think the town of Addis already signed theirs. So our hope would be that you would approve the agreement, but I will be happy to answer any questions that you have, and the staff will be happy to answer any questions as well.
I have one question, Kevin. There was a control question that was, to me, I think was the main issue was our control. So if someone needs a building permit or a commercial business needs a building permit, they're probably going to come here first. And I think part of what our problem was as a council, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, but kind of what I gathered from it was losing that control of having our citizens come here. I mean, that's what we're here for as a town hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to say, go to Port Allen, mm-hmm. to the parish permitting office.
Yeah.
We'd rather meet with them, talk to them a little bit,
sure.
find out what's going on, so we can stay on top of it also.
Sure.
And then send them to Port Allen to do the permitting after that.
Sure.
Do you have a big problem with us doing something similar to that?
Not at all. One of the biggest concerns over having a centralized permitting office was that each jurisdiction had different forms, different rules, different procedures. We literally had a spreadsheet like this wide by this tall with all the different jurisdictions and all their different rules and procedures. So we don't have any objection, obviously, to your citizens coming to you, speaking to you, have an open line of communication with us. No objection to any of that. We were just trying to centralize the forms and procedures and everybody kind of get on the same page.
Okay. Kevin, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, good.
So I just got a few questions. And if you did listen to the recordings, one of the comments that I made in the very first committee meeting was that having the privilege of working with the planning and zoning side for 7 years, very competent staff. And one of the things that I recognized in doing that was the amount of work that you already had. And you guys were always busy, and I know when I'd phone in and ask Lynn a question, because she was my go-to, sometimes she wasn't available. And so they would take a message, and she would get back with me, but I just know you had a tremendous workload. So I guess my question is, why the change?
Yeah.
Why would the parish want to take complete control?
Yeah, and I understand your concern there. We certainly have. We all have full plates, as you mentioned specifically planning zoning. So Lynn and I definitely have a full plate of plats and rezoning applications. Now, when it comes to the building permit side, we have 2 full-time staff members just dedicated to permits, building permits and contractor registrations. We also have the full-time inspector. We also have Mr. Danny Rabelais, who does our premise complaints, who can also step in and help out with permit and inspection questions. He was a contractor for years. So we feel like we have a staff capable of handling. If we didn't feel that way, we wouldn't have asked for the additional workload.
Okay, so... All right, and that's valid. I understand that, but I guess my question is why the change? Why not stay with the existing contract that was already in place?
Sure. So the biggest concerns we were getting was the multiple rules and regulations from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and we as a permitting office were having trouble keeping up. Well, Port Allen wants to do this, Addis wants to do this, and Brule wants to do that. So we literally had a spreadsheet of multiple different exceptions and rules, and it just got to be a little too much for the ladies in the office to handle in terms of keeping up with all those exceptions and rules and procedures.
So where were the complaints generated from? From the administration or from the residents?
No, I don't want to say complaints. It's just like, what can we do to be a more effective office? And that was staff-driven. And literally, I waited years to take action on it, several years to take action on it. And really, it got to a point where I felt like we had to do something. We had a permit summit. We invited all the mayors to be there. Mayor Rhodes was there. Mr. Shane was there. Port Allen and Addis. Blaine was there also. Port Allen and Addis were there as well. And I think we all kind of left that meeting with the understanding that, yes, there is a way to do this better for everybody.
Okay. I guess I'm a little confused on the permitting process to know that if the different municipalities, certainly we have different rules, and I think that was one of Don's concerns. I won't speak for him. I'll let him speak for himself. But I guess he was saying, how does the parish even keep up with the different municipalities if we change our own internal ordinance, and how is that going to be followed?
That's a good question. I'll give a quick answer, and I also want Miss Mallory to tell you about some of the different regulations she was having to deal with. If you change an ordinance, we just simply need to know about it. Just have that open line of communication. And I think we've always had that open line of communication. Sometimes there's a slight delay there. But if something's changed, just let us know about it. But I'll also want Mallory to answer maybe some of the things I didn't get a chance to answer.
So this is our book of exceptions that we have to go through. So if I'm not in the office, Ms. Tony can flip through here and see exactly what the town of Brule requires, what Port Allen requires, or Addis. Everybody has their own exceptions, and we have to keep up with that with every customer that comes in or every email that we have from the town of Addis, Port Allen, or Brule. And it's kind of thick because of that, and we just kind of wanted to get it all on one application, on the West Baton Rouge application, so we're not having, when we train a new person that's coming in, we're not having to say, well, let's flip to page such and go over Brule's applications. Let's go to Port Allen's. It's just a lot of the contractors get frustrated because they come here and then they're turned around and say, well, you got to go to the parish and get registered over there. And then you got to come back and get registered with the town and pull the permit then. So things kind of get lost.
Okay.
Going back and forth, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of any complaints. I know you guys do a great job there. I would like to see the differences at some point, what's contained in that book, what varies. And
I can pass it around.
But, yeah, at some time. I'd like to read it really before the next meeting, okay, whenever we actually make the determination. There's some way we can get it.
Well,
not a copy of the whole book. I don't want the whole book. I don't want Addis's.
You really let it go out the office.
Yeah, I don't want Addis's and Port Allen's, but I would be curious to see how we differ from Brule and the challenges to keep that straight would be nice. So, and again, I'm going to let the other council members speak. I'm just kind of talking, I guess, a few about my concerns. One of the things that was said at the last council meeting, And I read in the Westside Journal, was that if the municipalities do not agree to this, that we'll have to hire our own. Is that a true statement? Is that what was decided by the parish?
So I can't speak for the parish administration or the parish council. You know, I'm just a department head, and obviously I have to look out for my people and make sure we're running an effective and efficient department. I will say this, again, the concerns aren't coming from the citizens or the contractors. The concerns are coming from the staff members. It's that keeping up with all the different regulations is just makes their job a lot more difficult. So the staff members came to me and said, what can we do to get all the towns on the same page? This is a solution we came up with. I mean, I feel like we've served you guys well for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel like we need to listen to these folks' concern and try mm-hmm. to make the office run more efficiently. I think the 75-25 is a fair split. If we were to take over the whole thing, I would say the offer you had before you is a fair offer. It's a reasonable offer, and it's something we'd like to partner with you for the next X number of years. I can't promise if we don't change the way the offices run that these ladies won't get so frustrated they just throw in the towel. I can't promise that. You know, so we certainly want to keep these folks happy, keep the customers happy.
And I noticed that we had a small spreadsheet that was presented to us last month. And it carries over a fiscal year, or almost a fiscal year, I guess. And we had a total of 18 entries for just our town, which is not excessive in over a year. So I can understand, you know, maybe Addis certainly has a significant more growth and
they do.
Would be a lot more workload for the parish. So I guess, does it have to be an all or nothing, or can the independent municipalities agree to staying what they currently had, or do we have to resort to the 75-25?
So are you talking about trying to get everybody on the same page, or just
I would presume that the predominant workload is probably generated out of Addis.
Absolutely.
Simply because they have significant more growth, and we're somewhat a little bit landlocked. And so, again, looking at the amount of permits that was pulled, it was 18 from July 19 all the way through April of 20.
Well, we don't have generators, or do we put generators in there? So you're not looking at generator, solar panels, or swimming pools, or small subcontractor permits, which are just singled out if somebody was upgrading their power or putting in a new hot water heater or a new air conditioner. You're not looking at small stuff like that. So that's not included in what y'all take in Brule. Those already come to our office.
And just for the record, you do all of our commercial stuff. They do all of our commercial stuff.
Yes.
Any commercial building, for sure, they take over, because we lean on them for their expertise in that.
Exactly. And we have we have some packets for you guys, which would show the first sheet is a municipality site plan checklist. So this is what Mayor Rosen, Mr. Shane would take a look at when a commercial project comes in. They would see it before we do, because they're going to look and make sure that this company or this project fits in the town limits, make sure that everything is okay before the parish even sees it, because we're not going to see that site plan on our desk unless they approve it first. And then once that's complete, you'll see there's Miss Lynn's site plan checklist that's pretty extensive that we have to go over with that commercial project.
Thank you.
Okay, so if I'm understanding everyone correctly, this is not revenue driven. This is simply a workload request.
Yes, sir.
Increase if you take on additional permitting. We're giving up something to you. Your workload's got to get larger.
Well, not necessarily, because when Mr. Shane sends it to us, we're already putting it in the system. We're already having to talk to either the contractor, the homeowner, the developer, whoever that may be. We're already in contact with them once that permit is on our desk. We take it over basically from that point. We just need a little bit more information, I guess you could say, in our packets, our checklist, everything kind of shows exactly what we're needing.
So is there an effort or a way that the municipality can streamline this so that whenever you get it, then it's more itemized for you and it doesn't require you to have to go and search in that binder to try to see what the difference is? Is there a checklist that the town can form, and then maybe there's some due diligence on us to give the information to you in a more succinct, concise manner so that when you have it, you don't have to go and search your manual? And then it wouldn't consume your time.
I'm going to say no.
Let me try to answer that. So just let me jump back to Mr. Niesler's comment a few minutes ago. So the workload, from my understanding, the workload won't necessarily increase because they're spending so much time keeping up with all the different exceptions that if everybody got on the same page, they would have to spend a lot less time keeping up with all those exceptions. And I hope Mallory can give you one or two examples of what some of those exceptions are.
What do you mean by getting on the same page?
Can you give some examples?
So mainly it's...
Codes are different from municipality to municipality.
Not the building code.
We're looking at building...
They go by the Southern of the International Building Code.
Yes, the International Code Council is what we go by, and then LSU CCC.
Okay, but that's different from permitting process.
Correct. You can permit a permit. You can skin a cat 20 different ways, right? So, yeah, each jurisdiction can have their own forms and checklists, and we permit this, but we don't permit that. And that gets a little shady because some things that the jurisdictions aren't permitting, they probably should be permitting under state law anyway, or vice versa. Maybe there's some things the jurisdictions are permitting that they're not supposed to be permitting under state law, under exceptions. So to have a centralized set of forms, a centralized set of checklists, centralized set of guidelines is really what we're aiming for.
Yeah, because it's just kind of hard to kind of go through. Let's say if Brule gave me a checklist, Addis and Port Allen, all three gave me different checklists, would there still be a certain amount of exceptions that we would have to go through each one and have to learn that checklist no matter what? But
the application process were the same, that would help y'all a lot, even if it was maintained in each municipality.
I think it's not just the application.
It's not just the application. So there's certain things like the town of Addis, they do occupancies with us. The town of Brule does not. The town of Addis does, they send all their subcontractors to us to do like minute permits, electrical changeouts, mechanical stuff like that. Brule does not, but they do send us swimming pools and generators and all that, so we get those directly. Port Allen does not. Port Allen does not register their mechanical contractors. They send them directly to us, but then they register everybody else. So every single municipality has a set of exceptions, and it's pretty hard to keep up with, and I had to put all that in my brain for 5 years, and then Miss Tony came along and put it in a Bible for us, because this is what we call it.
Okay, if I get ready to build a house, where do I go to fill out building permit application?
You can either go on to the parish's website, print out an application, or fill it out right there on PDF form, or you can come into our office and we'll help you through it as much as we can.
So if they come to the town will say you go to the parish?
That's our hope.
Yes, sir.
That's our hope.
We're not cutting out the municipalities at all. There's only so much that our inspectors can do. So if Mr. Shane's riding around and he says, hold up, there's a building popping up in the backyard over here, I'm going to have to put a stop work order and call the parish, that would be a great help to us. And they would come and they would pull their proper permits there. And then Shane and I would talk about it and say, okay, what's the setbacks on here? What's the zone? There's still going to be communication between all of us.
Shane and I discussed this last week and last month. Shane's job's not going to change. He's still going to do the same thing we've always done, other than maybe someone had filled out a permit online. Most people are going to come here first. He's still going to have the responsibility of riding around, checking out, making sure everything's on par with new buildings, generators, swimming pools, fencing, and all that stuff like he does today. So the parish won't take over that responsibility.
I feel like I didn't get a chance to answer Rusty's question because I jumped back here. Rusty, I apologize for that.
Okay.
Did you want to circle back to it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you remind me what it was?
Well, I guess it could be for Mallory now, and that is, how can we help you? I mean, now everything is balling down. I don't know. I'd like to at some point see how much we paid out in fees underneath the old contract versus on the same amount that was pulled versus what is going to be paid out in the 2021.
Yeah, if Blaine goes to this is these are just a couple of examples of the commercial projects. We use the bigger one, walk-ons, what Brewley currently had, and then what we would have with the agreement, which that's still a minimum fee in green, what y'all would get, because just the minimum on signs, plumbing, electrical, mechanical, etc., that's the minimum on a commercial project. So those could get up to $500 to $700 a piece. So I couldn't really go off of that because the town of Brewley doesn't accept permits. Sunny Day Dental is coming down the pike. That's what the calculation Mr. Shane gave me, that's what would come out of y'all over here. This is what we would charge with, and that's all with these sub-permits.
So the numbers on the right are with the 75-25 split?
Yes, this is the
and the numbers on the left?
And that's current. That's currently what y'all have,
50,
and this
50,
is what
right?
y'all would be getting on commercial
okay,
project.
Okay, gotcha.
If you go to residential... Yeah, the residential is a little off only because it's kind of hard to go off of certain houses. You have a small, medium, large house, obviously, and the massive. So there is a difference here, but only because I'm going off of what a minimum sub-permit would be, and it's going to be more than that. I just went off of a smaller-based house. So it's a slight difference there, but then you're going to be making it up because we're going to be giving y'all the 25% of the swimming pools, solar panels, generators, and all of those fees, which is on the last slide. I didn't do the 25% on here, but this is what we charge for these single permits.
Right now we don't.
You do not get anything on those because they come directly to us.
And Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, with our Munico, we can just change that table to fees to match what the parish has, as opposed to changing each individual ordinance?
Yeah, my only concern is that we may have, if we are going to wholesale adopt, I don't know if there's anything in our ordinances.
Yeah, because we don't collect.
Not fee-based, but other permitted related things that we might have to change. I'd have to sit down with Kevin and see, because we don't want there to be discrepancies.
Sure. Yeah, we sure don't want to rewrite our whole code.
We don't want to have to rewrite our whole code, right. But, we may not have to change anything.
So, Mallory, I truly am sincere when I ask this, is how can we help you from our standpoint in that it will make your load easier and doesn't necessarily require the whole changing of this, but presuming that we would have that option as a municipality?
I can't answer that, but so if we could just get all on the same application base, I think it would go a lot smoother. But then again, that would have us come in here to train Mr. Shane of what questions to actually ask a resident. You know, what are you doing in this building? What's the codes on it? Are you going to be able to self-contract? If not, do you have a contractor? So we have to get into that a lot with the customers over the counter or the residences or the contractors. So more than just the application basis. I mean, it's a little bit more training to it. And then if you go back to the first slide, Blaine, or the second slide, it shows you all of... I don't have the fees on it because I only had a certain amount of time, but you're getting all of this whenever already. You're already getting this. We pay for all of the certifications for all three of our inspectors to have. Those are annual costs every year, not including all their CEUs and conferences that they have to go to keep up those. Their training, the My Permit Now software system, the Inspection Anywhere now, Ms. Lynn's site plan review, Mr. Danny now does our construction plan review, and then the contractor oversight. That's a big thing. You know, you don't want a fraudulent contractor working in your town.
And I would say you guys do an excellent job on that. You know, one of the things that, during the last meeting that the previous mayor said that was profound was that he said that, you know, we are tax base as well, right? Just because we're in Brule, we're still in the parish. And so some of the funding that you said, when you said we pay for that, it actually is part of the tax base of this town as well.
Yes, sir.
So,
we keep up with that. And I mean, I'm not saying that y'all pay for it. Y'all do pay for it, but...
Indirect.
Yeah. So it's just us having to keep up with it constantly. And there's a lot more behind the scenes that we do there in the parish. It's not just the applications. You know, it's always constantly having to talk to contractors or developers or getting scheduling stuff with the inspectors, stuff like that. So, and it's a lot to keep up with.
And if I could just jump into, maybe Mallory's being humble a little bit. What can we do to help her? You know, if we had to train a new person tomorrow, I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't even know where to start because I would have to start with this. You know, and as a department head, if I have to bring a new employee and hand them a manual this big, we got problems. It's going to take them a while to learn this. And if this lady accepts a job offer somewhere else, or if somebody accepts a job offer somewhere else, and we got to start with that, it's going to be very difficult. So we're just trying to get as centralized and as uniform as we can get so that we don't have to have a Bible that big. So when it comes to issuing different types of permits, registering contractors throughout the parish, we do deal with the state licensing board. They do drop in and visit us once a month because they get that permit report and they want to know who's building what and are they licensed. I'm trying to centralize all that.
Yeah.
Did that kind
yeah.
of...
Yeah, and Mr. Shane, he has full access to our My Permit now. So if someone calls and says, hey, Shane, what's going on here? All he has to do is log in and tell you exactly what's going on. If not, we're a phone call away. We are going to answer that phone no matter what, whether it's on the first, second, or third ring. Somebody's going to grab it.
So if I could just add, the agreement said there'll be a minimum of spreadsheet sharing of permitting and inspections once a month. But
sure.
In fact, because he's got 24/7 access to my permitting, he's thinking on anytime he wants
and run a
report. Be able to answer somebody's question.
Absolutely.
By looking at the system and they get. Okay.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I personally didn't understand that.
But that's the same as in the current contract. The only two changes in the new contract is a 50-50 to a 75-25 split and taking over the permitting process, which you already do the inspection process.
So I'll give you an example, like swimming pools. The International Building Code, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to permit swimming pools. Whether you have an ordinance or not, if someone builds a swimming pool, you are supposed to permit that. And the fact that some jurisdictions do and some jurisdictions don't, it's just one example of a problem here.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm in favor of this. I think it's going to help the town in the long run. It may take a little bit of getting used to right at first, but they do a lot of our work already. And I think it gets everybody on the same page. And it prevents the back and forth that contractors and residents have to go through sometimes. So, you know, I'm in favor of it. I talked to Pee Wee about it last week, you know, and he mentioned that it's not carved in stone, but we'd like to keep it all the same between all of the towns and the cities. So, I mean, if it comes to that, maybe we'll have to make a move on that. But there's only two differences in the previous cooperative endeavor and this one. So...
And there will be things, if you guys approve the agreement, there will be things that still have to be ironed out, like ordinances, and we'll iron that. It's not something that's going to change overnight, like you flip a light switch and lights come on. It's going to take a little bit of detail work, and we'll be happy to work with you guys on that. You also can get out of the contract, I think, at any time. It's not.
I think it was a five-year term.
It's a five-year contract, but I think both jurisdictions reserve the right to withdraw at any time
in
the contract. Yeah.
But you don't know the answer to if we choose to keep the existing contract. Is that a possibility?
So
is that an option? The presentation only is that we either take this or leave it.
And
if we leave it, we get our own inspectors.
So can I comment on that real quick? And then a third-party inspector over in Plaquemine is a minimum of $100. So if you're one of your residents has to come and pull a permit for a minimum electrical project he's got going, it could be a minimum of $100, and you don't know when that inspector is going to come. If you had to hire a third party out, is what I'm just getting at.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to turn to that. I think we can negotiate something to keep the parish doing what they're doing. They're not going to drop us like a hot potato.
I would hope so. Is a relationship that we've had with
I talked to Peter about it last week. That's not. I'm not going to say that was not the right quote in the paper because I wasn't there, but it was a little bit harsh.
It didn't read well.
No, it was a.
Who was quoted? Please tell me.
I don't know if it was a quote or if it was the writer that wrote it. So.
It wasn't a quote.
But it was quite harsh. So
he basically said that if we didn't approve this, we'd get our own inspectors.
Yeah.
Nobody in the parish has ever said that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
That makes me feel better.
Yes. I mean, we hope you guys will approve it, but thank you.
Any?
Speaking from every side, because I have gotten permits from Brule, I've gotten permits from the parish, and now I'm on the other side of the fence. I can tell you one of the biggest gains that Brule would make is the vetting of contractors that are working in your town. Before we will give anybody a permit, we will check their licensing, including their insurance, and that would almost guarantee you qualified people, where I think now we're not doing some of that. Some of that is not happening, in addition to the permits that you're not writing. So if you look at the overall picture, if you worried about dollars and cents, you will come out ahead dollars and cents. But the quality of workmanship and craftsmanship that you get in your town will improve.
Thank you, Mr. Danny. Any other questions?
Guys, feel free to drop in and see us. We're there Monday through Friday. Give us a call. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Kevin, you said Addis signed already?
I think Addis already executed their contract.
All right, I'll personally verify that this is already.
I think it was last month's meeting.
How about Port Allen?
Port Allen has not even taken it up yet, and we're having some pretty serious conversations to try to get them to go ahead and at least start the discussion.
Thank y'all for coming. We appreciate your time.
Thank y'all.
And your time last week meeting with us, or 2 weeks ago, whenever we met with y'all.
I'm going to slip out because I have another engagement to run to, but feel free to call, email, whatever you need to do.
Yep. Thank y'all so much. All right, I'm moving on. Discuss rezoning 653 East Main Street. That is currently zoned C1, and they have applied for rezoning to residential, which would be R1.
Patricia says it has to be R2.
Oh, it's R2?
Because of the size.
Okay.
I'll give you a little history on this.
Yeah, just real quick, we have to introduce it as an ordinance next week, so I just want to let you guys know. But, yeah, Tom.
This property, this will be the third time in 6.5 years that it's come up for rezoning. Some of you may recall in 2014, they were zoned C1 commercial. They requested to be rezoned to R1 residential. That was approved. 2 years later, they requested to go back to commercial. In 2016, that happened, and so now they want to go.
That was the daycare place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Across from the animal hospital.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. They want to put more than one family in there at one time.
I think there was some discussion about
that.
Yeah. But they understood
totally
that they
couldn't.
Yeah, so hopefully, we'll introduce it next week, and then we'll have to get them into
The whole process on it will be planning and zoning can't take it up before the end of January, and the council can't vote on it until February.
Right.
So that person's been communicating with us.
Patricia, they made the application. So, all right. So we'll probably introduce that next meeting. Discuss variance request 229 Abair Street, Ricky Touye Sr., non-compliance section 19.31.1 zoning district, R1 rear setback to reduce from 10 feet to 5 feet to build an accessory structure. If you look in your planning and zoning minutes, that was at the planning and zoning meeting, last planning and zoning meeting, and Motion passed unanimously, if I'm not mistaken.
They just replace the structure.
Correct. So the structure was there, got knocked down, and he's just replacing it. Is that correct?
Right, last storm that we had, it took the back off and half of the roof, so I went ahead and took it down, but it was over 50 years old. And I put a metal building.
Okay.
And the Chad lives in the back end?
Chad lives right behind me.
Yep, and there's a letter in there from Chad, so.
Chad faces what?
Take that on our next meeting, unless anybody has any questions. Anybody? All right, thank you. We'll look at it next Monday night.
Okay.
All right, that's when we can vote on it.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Discuss preliminary plat of subdivision lots 7-B and 8 of the Rita Babin property and the lots 8A through 8K. That also was presented to planning and zoning. And it passed unanimously. I emailed you guys late this afternoon. We just got the drainage impact study. The way it's set up with the ditch on the backside of the property opposite of Bourgeois Street and the retaining pond, if you look, there's a little picture of it in your packet. With the drainage survey, it says that there's no effect on drainage, but I am waiting on Roy and his expertise to stamp it from our engineering firm. So.
I believe Owen and White actually has already reviewed drainage impact stuff.
Yeah, did you? I don't.
I think I saw a letter on Toby that had something to do with some drainage slopes in the pond or something.
Yeah. So, Francois, you want to just step up and tell us what you're doing?
Miss Rita Babin approached me about buying a property. Really wasn't in the market for it, but I think she wanted to sell the property. She always kind of envisioned residential right there. So I just told her that's what we'd be doing with it. So I'm just cutting lots off the existing street, not putting new roads or anything like that. Did a drainage impact study. We'll be digging a ditch on the rear property because the church property was already kind of draining across this property into that ditch. So to kind of head off that water and to collect any water that is created from building these houses. We'll do that with a little small retention pond as well. Good, clean little project. If y'all have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer anything.
And it's going to be.
There should be less water in the Bourgeois ditch, right?
That's correct. Because all the water coming from the church property is now going
to
go
south to north. It's going north to south.
Correct. Yes,
so that new ditch and that retention is going to catch all that property that used to cross over and go in the Bourgeois ditch. So we also had some issues with that. Wendy Parrish used to live in that one house by the graveyard. So maybe some of this. It may help some of that issue that we had there.
Should help Bourgeois Street ditch. Correct.
You got a proposed map and a proposed plot plan, but the drainage servitude shown on the map does not match the 27-foot width of the pond and all that other stuff to the west side of the property. Do you intend to make the two match each other?
Yeah, I've actually I hadn't seen the drainage impact thing or whatever, but the map could be modified obviously to show the width of the canal plus 15 feet on top. I guess what we meant to put is top of bank, so there's maintenance that could be allowed from the top of bank of the ditch.
Yep, and you have that 15 feet there.
Yes.
Right.
But you just got 15 feet.
Right. But I think we can correct the wording on it. But we want to allow 15 feet from the top of the bank. That way, a maintenance of the ditch can take place and stuff like that.
Correct dimensions of the pond.
So ditches aren't typically shown on the plat all the time. So this is just a survey plat. So not all ditches are shown.
Right, but if you put a pond, it needs to be shown on the.
Okay. Well, we could have our surveyor.
It's non-developable property, so that needs to be shown.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Everything with court, he's going to put it on
there.
Francois, help me. Lot 8A.
Lot
8A. Okay, so then you had that little strip. That's what Miss Rita kept next to 8A.
No, so what? So St. John has, she subdivided a lot at one time to give access, I think, to
that little
cemetery
road thing.
There was a little sliver of property, so we acquired that and the rest of the other larger tract.
I was just trying to imagine how close the house would be to that little entrance to the cemetery from Bourgeois Street. It's about half the size of a lot, or maybe a third the size of a lot. It's some space, is what I'm trying to say. It is not right on top.
You're talking about the L3 Miss Rita's property?
Yeah. It's not right on top of that little path going into the cemetery. Am I right? You got something in between that lot and that little driveway thing?
Okay. Yeah, L3.
Okay.
Right there.
She kept that. That's hers. Correct?
No. We acquired that. I acquired everything she had left.
Okay.
Besides her house. Yes, ma'am.
That L3 is not a lot.
That's a dimension on the dimension. That's the lot depth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's giving you a dimension on the outside, what L3 represents.
Correct.
I guess I'm really
so
just...
So the first lot butts up to... Now, I don't think the asphalt road goes up to the edge of what the church owns. I think there's some extra property right there, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, I just was trying to figure out how close a house would be to that little entrance to the cemetery, but you do have a space of
there
land.
There is some steel grass between the two.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? All right, we'll take it under advisement for our Monday night meeting, Francois, when we can vote on it.
All right.
And if you can, get those maps, like Shane. I think Shane talked to Court, right, Shane? With the pond and all that stuff that we need.
Yeah, Patricia and I met with him, told him everything he needed to get.
Okay. Yeah, let's make sure and get that done. Thank you, sir. All right, discuss River Mill, third filing, final plat. A couple meetings back, the council gave me authority to sign the final plat once we received address numbers for all the lots, as well as once the three security lights were installed. So I got a call from Mr. Tatum and Mr. Spiller about the security lights. Entergy has some concerns about putting the lights up beforehand because of the way they're going to build the houses out. They're afraid they're going to get knocked down. I couldn't sign the final plat so they could continue with that because the street lights were not up. So, Mr. Tatum, you want to...
Yes, sir.
Kind of tell them what you want. I guess the bottom line is they just want the final plat signed without the street lights up.
And we've certainly got the commitment from Entergy that they're going to put the lights in. And
that's right, security
lights. These are relatively small lots, and... you put the street lights in, the first day a lumber truck shows up or mixer truck shows up, he backs in, they run over these things, and Entergy knows that they're going to have to replace them. So they've asked us to come before this council and just ask for some relief on that. They've got we've got an email with their commitment to install the lights, and they've got everything else in place. So it's just a matter of whether or not we can get this final plat signed and recorded. And then at some point, I mean, we can establish a deadline here tonight. If you want to say 6 months, 9 months, a year, or whatever the date is, we can come up with a date and tell Entergy they've got to have them installed regardless if there's one or 26 houses built by that deadline.
I mean, I think that's the question for the council, and maybe you guys can help. What can we do to get this final plat signed so they can move forward, but also what we can do to ensure that the streetlights get put up.
Exactly.
That's the ticket. So I have no problem signing the final plat and moving them forward. My issue is we need to find out what we can do to keep to make sure our security lights get put up.
I just want to be sure and make sure Jim clarifies, because everybody's using the term streetlights, but these are not, in fact, streetlights on a publicly dedicated part of the street. They're in fact security lights on a street that's going to still be private when the project is all said and done.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Yeah, the street right away.
They're not going to be publicly maintaining street lights.
No, they are. Okay. And the homeowners in there will be, there'll be a surcharge on their bills to cover that. So, right.
Okay.
So I don't know, Shane, is there some type of permitting that we could hold off?
Well, you could hold back COs, certificate of occupancy.
Yeah.
If you want to go that far. But
we could not issue an occupancy permit until the lights are up and give them a year to put the lights up, 6 months? I mean,
the street light requirement, I'm not aware of any other municipalities, jurisdictions around here that require the street lights or security lights to be installed. You know, the electric is in there, energy is committed to doing it. I think for the most part, we've done pretty much everything we said we were going to do over there.
I did, Jim, but I don't know what problem it is. I got a friend of mine lives in, maybe the personal second time, I don't know what problem it is. It's dark as hell. So
yeah.
We need to just have something to make sure that these lights get installed.
Right.
I'm okay with us having to go a little further down the line to do this, but we got to have at some point, we got to say, hey, we need to be free, security lights installed. I'm okay with
And there isn't anything that prevents that homeowners group to get together. And
I totally understand.
Yeah.
That.
And they can.
I think we dropped the ball, or whoever was here dropped the ball.
I think what it was not long enough at the time to require
right.
street light. But now, if you keep, you know, if we require street lights every whatever it is,
I think it's 200.
And you have a 200, 200, 200. Before long, you got a 1,000-foot subdivision
with no street lights.
No street lights.
Yep.
And that's why, since we didn't have any on the first, that I felt like we should require some on the second.
I think it was a great idea.
I drove down there one night.
It's dark.
And what they have is the lights on the corners of the house. It's the floodlights. It's what they use for lighting on the street. And we need to ensure that we're going to get, if you don't call them street lights, security lights.
Right. I'm okay with the mayor signing the final plat. As long as we got something saying nobody can move in there before these lights.
Something that Tom is comfortable with.
They want to be able to build houses and have the houses constructed before you put the street lights.
Correct.
Correct. We want to get the plat filed so that the lots can be sold, permits can be pulled, and construction can begin on the house.
Jim, the developer's paying for the street lights, right?
It's all paid for. It's covered in the fee that's already been paid to Energy to install the underground system.
So if the development is sold for a contractor to come in and build houses and all, and then he says he doesn't want to put in the street lights, the street lights are going in because they're already escrowed by the developer?
Correct. That was all covered in the fee that was paid to Energy for installing underground and abandoning what was in place. There were some improvements out there that had to be relocated and abandoned from.
And the letter you have says that Energy will install it.
Says right here, this is from Marlene Richard with Energy. It says, and this is addressed to Rick Spiller. Rick unfortunately had to leave, but he says, and it's strict, specifically states, Rick, Entergy will install 3 150 LED traditionary light fixtures on black fiberglass poles for River Mill Reserve in Brule. Since River Mill Reserve is a private street, they will be billed as security lighting to the HOA and will not be city street lights. As we discussed, it is our preference to install the lights after construction of homes begin. Past experiences with early installation of lighting results in damages to the lights, knocked down poles, cut cables, broken fixtures, etc.
Okay.
And they're usually made by delivery vehicles, you know, mixer trucks and lumber trucks. And we all know how those guys, how careful.
I did talk to Marlene last week, and she that's exactly
right.
what you told me.
Okay. And I mean, there's a few other things I can read, but that's basically it. And so, I mean, I guess if anybody's feet need to be held to the fire at some point in the future, it'd be Energy. Here, you said this. It's already been paid for. You know, get your folks out here and get these lights in.
Well, Shane, I think we'll not issue any occupancy permits. That's not going to happen until we get the lights up.
I think that's what, that defeats the purpose of building houses. So what Energy's saying is they want all the houses built before they go installed.
That's not exactly what it says.
No, not really.
But somebody, if they sell a house, they want to be able to occupy it.
Sure. So. But, you know, we can't let this go on. Suppose a builder builds one house and he says, well, the economy's bad, we're going to wait. So if he doesn't build a house for 2 years, we don't have our street lights for two more years. We have to put a time frame on it, and we have to get them done sooner or later. I think occupancy permit is just a way to hold feet to the fire to get them put up, even if it's one house or if it's 18 houses. That's just my opinion. Tom, can we draw up some type of letter, or does that have any bearing in this matter? I mean, a legal letter just saying we give them 6 months to put the lights up? Or a year, or whatever it may be?
6 months from what?
I mean, from the day we signed the final plat.
I would suggest that just as a way to do this, we're talking about 26 houses, okay? In a great economy, they may build and sell two a month. So it's a year's worth of construction. So I would say we come up with a date and say lights would be installed no later than X number of houses or a time frame, one or the other, and just that simple. Keep it that simple. Say, you know, if it's 26, let's just pick 13. Either when 13 houses are completed or started, 13 permits are pulled, or 12 months. Whichever comes first, the lights have to be installed.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I say we do that. That's my opinion. We do that, and then we'll watch
the developer's kind of out of the driver's seat here. This is really on Entergy because they've been paid, they've committed to do it, but we can't go show up on Choctaw Drive and make the Entergy guys come out here and install it. They have to do it.
Well, I'll commit, and Shane, I'll commit Shane too. We'll make sure that this gets done. So, I will need a motion next week authorizing me to sign the final plat without those street lights. Now we have the numbers, the addresses. That's done.
Right. Correct.
So everything's done except the street lights. So.
Okay.
And I would suggest we get that letter written up, and we'll have that ready for next Monday's meeting also. All right.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Just any other questions?
An aside, I saw in there y'all had to issue nuisance letters. Am I going to get one?
You're almost not a nuisance. This is almost over, right?
Look at this plat. It's been up here so many times.
That one's been around a good bit.
26 lots. I've been here 26 times. One trip per lot. Thank you.
All right. I'm glad I'm not paying you. All right, Finance Committee, speaking of paying, we have our bills in there. If you have any questions on those bills, get with us. Nothing really out of ordinary except that we bought a new truck. So, discuss beer, liquor, and wine applications. I think we have them all listed on our little handout. I'll read them out real quick just to make sure. Athenos, Back Brewery Grocery, Oaks LLC, JW Food Mart, Louisiana Bayou Bistro, Rio Cantina, and Walk-On's Bistro and Bar. Is Lit not on here?
That's what I was wanting.
Huh? Yeah, Lit too.
Yeah, we need to add Lit. I'm glad I read through them because I saw Walk-Ons. We'll add Lit for next week. Anybody else that y'all can think of? Plain double check and make sure we have from last year. I don't think we have any new people, do we? Yeah, that's it.
Bergamy doesn't do it, huh? They don't sell.
Who's that?
Bergamy.
I don't think. No, they've never had it. So let's make sure we get Lit on there. Discuss surplus items. It's end of the year. If you look on that resolution, we'll just come through that together real quick. Down at the bottom, we have a 2013 Chevy Tahoe, two of them actually, 2005 Dodge Durango. All three of those units are going to be surplus by the police department. We have an 06 F-150. That's Shane's old truck. And we have two portable generators. They're portable generators, right, Shane?
Yeah, they are. We have three total. We're going to keep one.
Yeah, we don't have any need for them, so we'd like to surplus that. Should we go to auction with that? What do you guys think? Try to bring those units to auction? Where's Jonathan? What do you think, Jonathan? Is it more of a headache, and does it cost us more to bring it to auction?
It was a headache last time we used to pay the auction.
Yeah.
We had to go there several times. Even simple as a pigtail, that might have been a police light we wanted at
all. Yeah. Last time we gave the car to, or donated it to a different town, right?
Oh,
yeah.
These here are shot, though.
Yeah. Shane's truck's not shot. It just needs a little work.
You can take bids on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, maybe we can do sealed bids and see.
Yeah, I left that part blank on the resolution.
Yeah.
So we figure out where we're going to send them to for have them going to different places. We'll take that for next week.
Yeah, I see what bid sounds good to me. Let's think about it, and then, you know, we'll discuss it next Monday. But we'd like to surplus those items and get them moved on.
You do them yourself by sealed bid, don't you? Put a minimum.
I think.
Yeah, advertise it.
Yeah, and advertise and do all that.
Yeah,
so
you got it. Okay.
In the perfect case, it'd be run them through auction and just get a price and move on.
Yeah.
It's just hard to deal with the state of.
All right.
Unless you put it on municipal, it works good.
Yeah, maybe we can do that, huh?
Doesn't work good.
That might be a thought. We'll think about it this week. Hopefully, I'll have answers for y'all on Monday. Next up, discuss police report management system. Did you email everybody that report? So I'm sure you guys read about it. We found out Quick PD, which is what we use for our court and our ticketing system, is not secure enough for the district attorney for our criminal district attorney evidence. So we thought we might get exposed on that. The district attorney was not happy about it, so Tom and him went out for bid. With three companies, I think, right? Three companies or a different plan. So you want to come up and tell us what you got, what actually happened?
Good evening. We had a glitch with our reports management system, which made it appear that there may or may not have been a breach in security. So we, throughout the investigation, going through the proper steps that we are faced with to, because of the legality of evidence and the reports inside the system, it was discovered that the free software we've been using for the last 4 years doesn't have the auditing or tracking systems built into the backside of it. So basically, when we present evidence to the DA, we can't provide a legal track of who's edited it, looked at it, where it's gone, how it's been recovered, or which process. It's called chain of evidence or chain of custody. So we went out and found three different report systems that are all had the legal minimum requirement for those, as well as some other features. Let's see. I'm sorry. I apologize. We are recommending of the three that we sent you, the eForce program. It has the largest upfront, second largest upfront cost for the first year, but overall it stays the cheapest. So we save money in the long run, and it had the most features as well. The CoLogic one came in the second price-wise and with similar features, but the price point remains at that high price point every year from now until, you know, the end of existence or the end of our contract. And lastly, the Crime Star, that's actually a software you buy, so there's not this level of support or updates. The federal government has changed this year. As of January 1, they're doing away with the Uniform Crime Reporting System and going to a national incident-based report system, which requires a different kind of coding, a different kind of reporting. All three of these softwares are prepared to make that transition on time. We just have to pick which one y'all think best suits our needs. Yes, sir.
Municipalities that are using eForce?
eForce, there are 15 in the state of Louisiana. There are 130 in the state of Texas. CoLogic, Addis, and West Baton Rouge currently use those. Crime Star is the one in the state, is actually Plaquemine City.
What about the district attorney or prosecutors that would, are they?
These options are meet their minimum. Everything you do within the system is logged with a time, date, and user stamp. So even if someone accesses it from the outside, it's everything you do within the system is logged. So if there was a breach internally, externally, it shows all that. If I were to go in and edit a report that did not belong to me, or attempt to edit a report that did not belong to me, it would log that time, date, my name. So it meets all their minimum standards for any type of criminal prosecution.
So what's the total amount?
I did not total it out. I have the totals next door. I apologize.
So I see what, $30,486?
Yeah, $30,486 up front for the first year.
Right.
With each additional year, $4,573 with a 2% increase every year for eForce.
And it's a three-year contract?
They said it is an initial 3 year contract. It's basically year to year after that. They said it stays at the 2% is the maximum increase you'll ever pay. There's never again going to be a large upfront sum of money we have to pay.
But the $30,000 is the big upfront.
That's right. Where the CoLogic, it was a $20,000 upfront, but you're paying $16,000 a year every year thereafter. CrimeStar is $60,000 a year every year. Period.
Yeah. So eForce, what towns use eForce? Do you know? Can you name one? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot.
Crowley PD has it.
You said you had 15 in the state?
Yeah, Acadiana Parish Sheriff's Office also has it.
What does our sheriff use, CoLogic?
CoLogic, they bought out ThinkStream, though. We bought so much of those folks.
Yeah, thanks.
He just canceled a contract with CoLogic, and we had two contracts, but they never performed on one of the contracts.
Right. Yep. I remember that.
Family Matter, we canceled that was, our last contract.
That was when ThinkStream was around and all that mess?
Correct. We originally started with them. They were never able to, they provided the software, worked for about a month, and then it died. They were never able to fix it. Yeah. It took approximately 2 years for them to rebuild it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that eliminates that one.
Is there any different amount of time it would take various companies to install it?
No, CrimeStar is the fastest, and with that price tag, I would imagine it would be, because you own the software. The problem with that is they send it out, we download it, we're responsible for entering every Burley Town ordinance, every state code, every fine. We have to populate all the information, so it's really at a when we can put the manpower into entering all that data. Otherwise, it's about 3 months for CoLogic and eForce for full deployment to be up and running.
Will our AIM people be able to handle this and help us with anything we might have on this, or will this company help it if we have an issue?
It is cloud-based, so there will be actually less work for for AME.
Right.
Tom.
Yes, sir.
Since it was all spurned by a breach, we share information with other law enforcement, is that true? Like the sheriff?
Not through our report system.
My question, I guess, is: are you comfortable that this is going to take care of the problem in terms of future breaches?
Absolutely.
And the future breaches by some other law enforcement that may have access if their system is breached and they were using the ones that we got now? You know, they won't be able to breach.
No. As far as it's concerned, it is web-based, but it is standalone. So only Brulee will have access to Brulee information. Even if someone were breached in Texas, it has no effect on
ours. So nobody could access our file from outside with this?
No, sir. If they did, there would be a log showing exactly who did it, so there's a criminal prosecution and what they did in the system so it could be reversed, which is what we lack now. Now if someone breached in, we have no idea what they changed, edited, looked at. And like I said, that's where you lose
all the evidence in the cases.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's the biggest issue, is that all the evidence tainted and then we know all that.
We were fortunate. We were operated for the last 6 years on a free system, but unfortunately it's turned around now that you get what you pay for. So we haven't paid out the last 6 years to use our current vendor, but like I said, the district attorney highly recommended that we make a change to something that is more secure and properly logs everything that's done within the system.
And it makes sure that the district attorney can adequately prosecute all the felonies that our police department arrests people for.
You don't have to be trained?
Yes, ma'am, but it's pretty similar to what we use now. As far as report systems go, they all ask for the same information because the DA is basically what the DA or any criminal court requires. So it's really, they've kind of streamed on it. Everything's a kind of drop-down menus. There's very little to fill in. Training won't be an issue and is included in the cost of the software.
Thanks.
Budget-wise, we'll have to make an adjustment on it, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Percent time, that's pretty much in perpetuity.
The
2%?
The 2%, we basically they look at it as like a cost of living increase because they constantly maintain the laws. Every time the laws change, they update the information. Everything that with the LIBORS and NIBORS, which is federally required, they keep all that coding up. So it's just basically a maintenance fee from there on out. Did I answer your question correctly? I thought I heard it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's necessary. We discovered that issue with Quick PD, so.
Yeah, we got no choice, really.
Yeah, we need to jump on it before we get in a bind. So. Any other questions for Tom?
Can you try to find out Joanne's question, at how long it would take them to install this?
It's a 90-day deployment.
90 days.
Yeah. All right, any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
Tom. Thank you, Chief. Personnel Committee, we have 2021 town holidays. We'll vote on that Monday night. We didn't change any holidays. We had to do some juggling. Christmas falls on a Saturday. We decided to take the Thursday as our Christmas Eve holiday and the Friday as our Christmas Day holiday. Everything else is the same. We'll double check to make sure those days are right. Recreation Committee, discuss intergovernmental agreement with West Baton Rouge Schools for budgeted recreation funds. That's what we do every year. If you look in your packet, you got $10,850 is the amount we have budgeted, and that's what we're going to vote on for the...
How was that number, Brian?
That was what we put in the budget last budget year. Remember, we had put 20 in the budget, and we ended up cutting back because we had other stuff. And we picked two things, and that totaled to that $10,850. I think some signs.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember what else we had. It was all in the packet, but we picked those two things.
Okay.
Cut that back a little bit. So that'll be for.
They sent you a list of requests. Did they get?
They did that a budget year. Every budget year we have that. And then what they do is they'll buy it, and the company they buy it from sends us the bill, and then we pay the bill. Get that done next Monday. Discuss bids for geotechnical survey for the park. They have to do some boring and stuff for the pavilion that we want to put up. This was not in the scope of work for Tipton. Therefore, we had to come to the committee. They wanted to award the bid, and I said, well, if it's not in your scope of work, I have to go to the council. So I got them to get two bids. Chris got us two bids from Tipton. He said they're both good companies. They submitted the two bids to us. So if you get a chance, look at it. One's cheaper than the other one, and he said either company would be good. I suggest we go with the cheaper one. So and they will take care of it and make sure that they get the work done at Tipton.
Why wasn't it in the bid?
I don't think it was part of it.
Just an oversight?
Yeah, I don't think it was just part of it. So
technical work's usually a side of an engineering type project, and it's never part of the original engineering scope. It should have been the overall project scope of work, meaning knowing it had to be done.
No, I thought it was in the scope, but once I started digging, it wasn't. So we'll look at that. I suggest we go with the cheaper one. And that project is moving forward, by the way. I got most of the engineering plans in. So we're going to try to meet with the committee in the next week, though. So maybe by Monday we'll have something. Yeah. Police committee, I don't have anything. Nothing. Governmental affairs, Ms. B. Other matters, nothing. Mayor's report, I met with Margaret, our auditor. We had zero findings except for not having a CPA on staff. I was really pleased with our audit. She'll present it next week. We had money returned to us. We had a credit on our health insurance bill, believe it or not. They gave us a credit, something to do with COVID.
Don't worry, they'll catch up next year.
I take credits any chance I get. The sign is in process. They got the base in. They're waiting on some artwork to be done, so we should have the sign going up pretty soon. Sales tax was, again, high this month, so keep your fingers crossed. We'll keep rolling with that. Inauguration is next month, so we'll inaugurate the new council member in January. At a meeting, we'll swear everybody in. I'll get the details to everybody.
Seven.
Yes. And your daughter.
Now I know.
Uh-huh.
Girls.
And so I'll line up somebody to swear us in, and we'll get that done in January at our January meeting. Next up, brown water meeting. I went to a meeting with Roy and all the water people at the parish. As you know, they're going to start flushing. I'm assuming you know because they sent out all calls and text and our website. They're starting to flush lines. There was an engineering firm there that is going to write a plan on paper. God forbid something happened to Richard Sonnet, and they'll have a plan on paper on how to flush the lines properly. And Roy, if I say something wrong, correct me. With the new well, we have better capacity to flush the lines. Richard said our capacity was an issue, flushing the lines properly. So there's a plan in place to start flushing this week, and then there'll be a plan twice a year that they're going
to
flush?
They'll have to make that decision. Now, what's going to take place? Richard's going to do it by Richard's plan.
Right.
Which sounds okay, but it's not in writing. And our point in the presentation, the flushing or cleaning of a system needs to be from the source out, and it needs to be strategically done. You can't do a part here, a part here, and a part there, because water systems are dynamic, and that water's moving all over. And having the proper quantity of water, because he's taking a quantity of that water, and it's a calculated amount of how much it's going to take to flush this area. While you're flushing one area, the rest of the system still needs water to keep going on and drinking. So that's where the quantity has to get divided. Where before, you just didn't have that quantity of water.
Right.
I mean, I mentioned to you when I came to you one night, you couldn't get a drink out of the fountain. You didn't have enough water pressure during that summer month because the demand was so high.
So the bottom line is the majority of the brown water issue is on the south end of the parish, mainly on the east side of LA1, right? We don't have a whole lot on the west side of LA1.
The terminology goes back to water is not just hydrogen and oxygen that we learned in science. So those two molecules, and that's H2O. You got every kind of other mineral in the world in it, and our area is known to have iron and manganese, and your old wells in this area were used to drink for many years, had iron and manganese in it, and they were never sequestered or anything. And that stuff, when you hit it with chlorine, it oxidizes it, and it just falls out, and it coats the inside of the pipes. And if it sits there long enough without enough movement, it'll paint it hard as a brick on there. And now that the dynamics and the number of customers increased, and that's exactly what happened when a fire hooked up to a fire hydrant, it puts a high velocity in there, and that's just like you pressure washing your car. It washes that dirt off those inside walls and turns it brown. And it won't slow down or fall back out until it gets to a very minimal flow rate, and it'll fall back out. The process here is to try to put 6 foot per second in every pipeline. Based on its diameter, we'll calculate the quantity of water and to flush it out for a certain time period to clean them up. Now, it's not going to clean it all the first time. He's going to move it the first time and then try to do it on a regular basis. Now, depending on how bad it is, you might have to do it once, maybe twice a year, but don't ever quit doing it.
So long story short, Richard's doing like the Richard plan, and concurrently the engineering firm is putting another plan in writing. So they're doing it at the same time, and then they'll get together and determine what they're going to do. But twice a year was mentioned, so I'm not going to hold them to that, but that was mentioned in a meeting to flush the lines to try to eliminate the problem. So
is that going to affect the water pressure while they're doing that? Because that's another call we get about water pressure.
You heard me just talk about your pressure before. It was in the past couple of months we turned on this second well, so you now have a larger quantity of water to meet your needs. Look, the long-term proposal is for a couple of more wells to get you up where you need to be, to get the quantity of water. The dynamics of this system is changing fast because all your supply is in the north and all your demand is in the south, and how do we move it? You got to learn how to operate it to move it properly and keep it going. So you got the brown water issue and the hydraulics issue, but yes, you will. Everybody else should maintain pressure if it's done properly, because that's part of what the hydraulic plan's about. We can tell you how much water you have to move through a certain length, and you can't go any further than that because water flowing through a pipe is head loss. And once you get to that point, if you get below 20, you got to issue boil water notice. It's just to maintain pressure in the rest of the system while you do it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Roy. Any other questions? All right. Remarks of personal privilege? Anybody? Announcements. Town Hall will be closed December 24th, 25th, and January 1st for the holidays, Christmas, and New Year's. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Richard, second by Mr. Daigle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Meeting's adjourned.